Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. It's The Takeaway. I'm Catherine Lanfer in with Todd Zwillig. It's been 4 days since BP capped the oil coming out of the Deepwater Horizon well. After 87 days spewing oil into the depths of the Gulf, the gushing has finally stopped. Well, maybe. It is possible that oil is leaking already. Federal scientists say they found evidence of a possible leak, this one on the sea floor. But if the leak has stopped, you want to know, is the worst behind us? Well, to answer that, we're joined today by Susan Shaw and Edie Witter, two oceanographers who study the Gulf. Edie is founder of the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Florida. She's created a device for filming and studying marine life that can be submerged as deep as the well itself. And also recently, Susan Shaw, director of the Marine Environmental Research Institute in Blue Hill, Maine, dove directly into the oil spill to study its effects. All right, Susan, we were talking to you earlier in the hour about what it was like to actually dive into the oil spill. Of course, people want to make sure that oil doesn't hit the shore. And one of the ways we're doing that is by using this dispersant called Corexit. Talk about the trade-offs that happen if you use a dispersant trying to keep oil from the shore.
Well, first of all, the use of dispersant has and always will be very controversial because of the toxicity of the combination of the dispersant and the oil in the water column. So this was quite a discussion among officials, but they did go with a plan to let BP apply Corexit to these waters.
And now, Susan, I'm going to interject here. Are you telling me there's petroleum in the dispersant?
This Corexit dispersant contains petroleum solvents. So it's like putting petroleum solvent on top of a petroleum spill. It increases the hydrocarbon in the water column. And it also increases the toxicity of the oil in the water column.
Well, no wonder it was controversial then.
Right. This is because what the job of the dispersant is to break up the oil. So that's what the solvents do. They break into that lipid layer of the oil. And just that same property that allows them to do that allows them to break up the cells of the body and get into the organs of anything that swims through that.
Well, it's super high-powered soap, right, basically? It's detergent.
It contains detergent. It's not a detergent per se alone. These dispersants contain hundreds of compounds, not all of which have been identified, but we do know the big groups of them. So you have detergent, you have surfactant, the molecules that surround the oil and keep it suspended in the water column and separated from other globs of oil. You also have those solvents that are very toxic.
So if they're not supposed to use Corexit, what actually is supposed to be done?
Well, this is a trade-off. Here's the proposition is that to keep the oil from getting on the wetlands into the marshes, we disperse it in the water column. But we do so not knowing what the long-term impacts are going to be. So we're doing that as more like an experiment. It's a chemical experiment on the ocean, and that's the trade-off. We'll drop it in deep into the water, hope it doesn't do too much damage. But from previous spills, we know what it does. It does damage animals in the water column. But the rub is that at the same time we did that, there was not a vigorous effort, as you know, to pick up oil from the surface. We haven't seen anything resembling modern technology out there to suck up that oil before it got to the marshlands. So consequently, the trade-off is kind of meaningless. It's only been recently that we've seen something called the whale skimmer, which was in testing for many weeks there.
Right, the gigantic skimmer the size of several football fields, hoping to get some more of the oil off the surface. Hey, Edie Witter, let me ask you, because Catherine mentioned that you've created a camera that can go down through the water column, as Susan Shaw is describing, all the way to the depth where the oil well was. I've been watching live feeds on BP.com and on various websites all throughout this spill. I thought we already had cameras that can go that deep. What does yours do that others don't?
Mine is called the Eye in the Sea. It's an unobtrusive camera system that allows you to observe animals without disturbing them, so it uses far red light that the animals can't see. So you have a better feel for what the natural behavior is, and you're not scaring the animals away with the lights that you're using.
Far red light, like infrared.
Like infrared. You can't quite use infrared in the ocean because it's absorbed so quickly.
So what are you seeing? I mean, most of us, when we think of what we see, we just think of the plumes of oil. What are you seeing?
No, we haven't done it yet. We'd like to do it. That's the problem, is we'd like to get in there and see what kind of damage is being done on the bottom. I've made dives to a reef, an area called Viasca Knoll, that's just about 38 miles north of that oil rig site, and it's just the most beautiful reef I've ever seen in my life. And I just can't imagine what's happening to it, and nobody's being allowed out there to see what's going on.
All right. So when will you get this ability to monitor?
I have no idea. I mean, a lot of people have been trying to get permission to get inside the perimeter that BP has staked out, and it hasn't happened. And then, of course, there's the costs involved of getting ships and submersibles out there.
All right. Susan Shaw, I want to go back to you for a minute, because I know that you have a petition out there for scientists that you're trying to get them to sign. Quickly, tell us what that's about.
Well, a lot of scientists, many, many scientists actually have opposed the use of car exit dispersants in the Gulf. And we have developed this consensus statement. It was just released actually on Friday, and we have scientists are signing on as we speak. The signatures are just pouring in. And basically what it says is that we, understanding the toxicity of the combined car exit and the oil in the water column, we oppose the use of car exit, and we urge the federal government to fund independent research to measure impacts while the exposure is so high. And it's just like what Edie was saying, it's hard to get in there and get samples out. So our project is called Gulf Ecotox, or GET, GET, okay. For Get Samples. Get samples now.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so we can look. We need to look at these impacts.
Susan Shaw, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you for joining us. That's Susan Shaw, Director of Marine Environmental Research Institute in Maine. Edie Witter, founder of ORCA.